Let's welcome Dr. Jesse Duplantis.
Thank you, sir. Hallelujah.
Give the Lord a big God bless you. Come on. Woo. Come on. Hallelujah. Come on, you can do better than that, I believe. Hallelujah. You might be seated if you can. Hello, Daystar. Hello, Marcus and Joni. How y'all doing? Glory to God. It's such a high honor once again to come and minister at this great church. If you've never been to Chicago, you need to come during this great faith convention. Faith works if you work it. We know faith works, but a lot of people don't work it, see. They work the time of it instead of working it. And when you work faith, it will work for you, not some of the time, but all the time. And God will just bless you. How many of you watch our television show? You should watch it. It cost me millions of dollars. You should watch that show. Now, I know everybody comes dressed up, but you know, when you got white hair, you got to dress like kids. So I thought, man, I'm going to dress like some of these kids. Glory to God. God is so good and gracious, and it's just such a blessing of the Lord. I'm excited about what God is doing. Give Vicky Yoy another hand clap. She did a marvelous job. Marvelous job. I've been knowing Vicky for many, many years. Way, way, way back when. Lord Jesus, glory to God. I had brown hair when I met Vicky Yoy. I really did. Glory to God. I didn't dye it neither. I mean, I literally had it. But God is so good and gracious, and we thank you, Bill, and for allowing us once again to stand behind this great pulpit. And I mean that sincerely, you that are watching by Daystar. You come to Chicago, put this as part of your vacation. If you come to Chicago on vacation, come to this church. You'll be blessed by it. I guarantee you, man. If you're a white person, you'll know how to dance. They teach you how. Hallelujah. How to make you shout. Hallelujah. Just such a blessing. How many people brought your Bibles? Let me see. That's your hand. I like to see your Bible. Everybody turn around. Look at all these Bibles. Black ones, red ones, white ones, blue ones, purple ones. Some with no covers on them. That's the ones being used. Turn with me tonight to the book of 1 Samuel. Oh, Rabasakata, the book of 1 Samuel. Now, I want every minister and minister's wife to stand to your feet as people are turning to 1 Samuel. And this is under the direction of the Holy Ghost. I was in Ireland preaching. And God said, tell it to every minister. And I want everyone to listen to me. You that are in the fivefold ministry, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. It's not your job, and this is coming from the Lord. It's not your job to beget sheep. It's not your job to build a ministry or build a church. It's your job to feed sheep. Because babies eat every 4 hours. And adults eat 3 times a day. And I find so many ministries and ministers and churches that ministers are just wearing themselves out trying to build a church, build a ministry. And when it comes time to feed the people, they don't have nothing to feed them with. Because they're out trying to build something. It's not your job to do that. Let me say that again. It's your job to give yourself to the Word of God. And I mean that sincerely. And God will give you a staff that'll do those other things. Because if you have something to say, babies are going to eat it and adults will too. So let me say it again. Babies eat every 4 hours and adults eat 3 times a day. So if you're in ministry, you've got to give yourself to the Word of God. Because we're living in the last days. If we don't feed people, people will go to hell. And we have an opportunity to stop that. So remember this, you don't need to wear yourself out and get under stress on how to do this or try to make budgets. Budgets cost you something, vision brings you something. Quit talking about budgets and start talking about vision. If you will deal with vision, I'm telling you one thing, my God, your budget will go beyond what you can possibly ask or think. You'll have more money you'll ever know what to do with. God will pay you more than anybody can ever pay you. But you've got to give yourself to the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ. If your church has not been growing, it's because you hadn't been feeding them the proper foods. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Listen to me. If your ministry's barely making it, you got to start getting into that Word of God. Because people are driving hundreds of miles to a good restaurant. They drive all over the world. They fly all over the world to come to New Orleans. Why? Because we make you fat. You see what I'm saying? So it's not your job to begat sheep. It's your job to feed them. Let me say it again. Babies eat every 4 hours. And adults eat 3 times a day. You may be seated. Now I want everybody else to stand up. Everybody else other than the minister, stand up. Now you are the sheep. It's time for you to start having some babies. This is coming from the Lord. I'm not talking about physical babies. You want them, you can have them, that's fine. It's time for you to begat sheep, because sheep begat sheep and ministers feed them. And the way to do that is to go out and invite people to church. And you know, you don't have to try to make them come to your church. Just invite them to church. If they're Catholic, Baptist, Methodist, Episcopalian, Presbyterian, Church of God, Church of Christ, Word of Faith, Full Gospel, Assemblies of God, Church of God, a prophecy in Christ, whatever you want to call it. Just ask them, bless God, to come. And we just want to go to church with you. And then believe God for enough money to take them out to lunch. Now, you don't have to try to pull them out to church. Just invite them to church. Sheep begat sheep. You see what I'm saying? And that pastor or that minister will be in the Word of God. And when they come, they'll get the fullness of what God says they should have. Now, many of you, let me say this, you need to start having sheep. See, a lot of people just rely on ministers to do all that. We'll get the minister. You know, the minister's personality will pull the people and will keep the people. No. It's your job, bless God, to be mama. It's your job to be daddy, begotten sheep. And then my Lord, the Father, God, puts a person to feed you and minister so they can grow to the fullness of the stature of Christ. That's a word of God. That's from God Almighty. It's time for all of us to begin to begat sheep, especially the sheep itself. We will feed them, but you must begat them. And don't wait on a minister to do it. That is your job. You want to do something for God? Have a baby. You may be seated. Now, I did what the Lord just told me to do. And churches will start growing immediately. And I'm going to tell you something. People will come a running. See, the problem is what happened is at 9/11, 10 years ago, my God, people started going to church after 9/11, but we lost it all. Everybody went, we had a chance, but nobody was feeding people. And you notice they walk right back out to church 3 to 4, 6 weeks later. Why? Because nobody, they still just gave the same dry rice. But my God, if you've given yourself to the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, people are hungry and they'll receive the word. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel chapter 14. Hallelujah. Now, where's my countdown clock? So I know it's right there. Hallelujah. I see one. I don't see the other. Oh, I see it now. Okay. Glory to God. One of the greatest characters in the Bible is a man named Jonathan. You don't hear much about Jonathan. Yet he has such phenomenal character. He's the son of a king. But he also understands that the anointing is not genetic. He understands and looks for the will of God concerning not only his life, but the life of the nation that his father is king over. And he sees where that anointing lies. And I want to talk tonight about learning to think out of the box. And without sounding prideful, in 33 years of full-time ministry, I have never had a financial deficit. God has been good and gracious to me. Why? Because I've learned to think out of the box. Don't tell me I can't do something, because when you do, you just told me that I could. Dreams have no expiration dates. You can get it at 9 or you can get it at 90. It makes no difference. But see, you got to learn to think out of the box. There'll always be somebody telling you you can't. You just don't pay no attention to that. People get angry about all kinds of things. You got to remember that the greatest thing people have in their lives usually is jealousy and envy. They want what you have. A lot of people don't like prosperity. All of me preaching that prosperity, yet they all want money. Every one of them got a box somewhere in the church for you to put something in. So is money so bad, why do you take an offering? Thank you for that Holy Ghost grunt. Listen to me. You live in an economic world. God didn't even send his son down here without some money. Now heaven doesn't use money. Neither does Star Trek. I said that, I believe, when I was here last year. Both of them don't use money, but we live in an economic society. Jesus didn't need no money. He wasn't born 10 minutes and three rich guys looking for it. Why? Because his mama and daddy broke. Mary and Joseph broke. The donkey broke. Herod's going to kill everybody. And Jesus said, we got to get out of here, mama. Use the pot of gold. You hear what I'm saying? How many of y'all can use some finances? Good, good. It's not bad because, see, everybody working for finances. But you shouldn't just believe for a paycheck. You should believe for a harvest. But you can't get a harvest if you're not sowing seed. You ever notice the apple, if you ever eat an apple, it's good, isn't it? But if you ever bite the seed, it's bitter. You know why? Don't eat the seed. You eat the harvest. That's the apple. I did that the other day in our church. I had them cut up an apple. I said, y'all like that? They were eating all. I said, you like it? I said, now bite that seed. They go, oh, that's bitter. I said, you're not supposed to eat seed. You see, you don't eat seeds. It's not made for you. The harvest around the seed is made for you. Do you hear what I'm saying? And most seeds in anything is bitter because you're not supposed to eat it. You're supposed to plant it so you can eat the harvest that's around it. 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 1, now it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young man that bare his armor, come, let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side. And he told not his father. Notice he didn't tell his father because his father had jealousy and envy greatly. And now you read verse 2, 3, 4, and 5. It tells you all the different things because there's a major army out there. And there's just only two guys, Jonathan and his armor bearer. And I want to get to verse 6. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come, let us go over into the garrison of these uncircumcised. You have to realize and you have to remember and you have to be aware of people that doesn't have covenant. The devil that's fighting you today doesn't have a covenant. People always ask my time, why don't you tell people, I never preach what you're going through. If you do, you're going to have to change your tapes at the end of it because you don't know the end result. Preach what you've gone through instead of what you're going through, and then you can give somebody an answer. But you know, a lot of people preach what they're going through. Look like we're having a hard time. Oh, Lord Jesus. What's your answer? I don't know. We're just having hard times. No, that you're preaching what you're going through. Preach what you've gone through. Because then you got an answer. So he notices that this whole army is not covenant people. They're uncircumcised. He said this, it may be that the Lord will work for us. Now you notice he said that in the Old Testament. It may be. He didn't have Genesis to Revelation. He didn't have the nine gifts, the nine fruits, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He just said, my Lord, today we have all that. So we can say it's going to happen. He said, it may be that the Lord will work for us. And I love this. He says, for that there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. So it has nothing to do with what you see. It has everything to do with what you believe. Now, I love this employee of his. I have a lot of employees that work for me. And I wish all my employees would think like this. And his armor bearer said to him, do all that is in thy heart. And he said, do it in your head. You don't need a heart bypass. You need a head bypass. Be careful that people's experiences always tell you how bad they've had it, and all of a sudden you start experiencing their experiences. I don't want to hear how bad you've had it. I'm not interested in that stuff. People get mad at me because I own a jet. I fly over the house and wave by. I ain't got time for foolishness. And I don't mean that pridefully or arrogantly. It's a tool to preach the gospel. I saw something in the spirit as I came. I flew into Midway, Chicago. I know Bill Winston and believe in God for a Gulfstream 5. Now, you know, I've been in his office, and he's got a model in there, and he's got it painted black and white. And my God, I come walking in, and guess what was right in the front door was a black and white Gulfstream. I said, Lord Jesus, that's Bill's. Now, I don't know who owns it, but you're going to have to give it up. Because Bill got a copy of that in his office. Now, you may think I'm just saying that. No, I sent something. There ain't no shortage of money. It's in the wrong hands, ladies and gentlemen. It's in the wrong hand. I thought, well, look at here. That's Winston's plane. That's Billy's plane. Then I walked in. I said, Dad. I said, hey, you got the hat. First thing I thought, he said, no, I'm believing strong. Well, I don't know who owns it, but they're going to have to give it up. You say, I don't believe that. That's why you ain't getting nothing. His armor bearer said, do all that is in thine heart, not in his head. Turn thee, behold, I am with thee according to thine heart. He said, I'm with you. In other words, my God, wherever you go, I go. I want to talk tonight about learning to think out of the box. And I want you to write this down if you're taking notes. Learn to see beyond the normal perception of things. The normal perception of things is a bank where there's money and you borrow it. Nothing wrong with borrowing money. Don't misunderstand me. God made Abraham a lender, so somebody had to borrow it. But it's so nice if you own the bank and you can lend it. I mean, you got to do something. It's like the 30, 60, and 100 fold. Some people don't believe it. But since you got a choice, what you messing with 30 for? I mean, since you got a choice. He said 30-something, 30-something, 60-something, 100 fold. People get mad at me. I said, hey, I got a choice. Since you got a choice, you might go for gusto. Right? Now, when I tell my wife goes shopping, and if she goes to a Louis Vuitton place, a Chanel, Escada, or whatever you call it, Christian Dior, I say, you got a choice, or you can have them all. It don't make no difference to me. I don't wear purses. But I have bought many of them. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not being prideful. I'm just saying, since you got a choice. She said, well, which one should I get? I said, choose whatever you want. I didn't say choose whatever you need. My wife told me that the other day. She said, you never ask God for a need. Why should I? He said he supplied. I don't believe his word. I never ask God for a need. I don't tell God what I need. I tell him what I want. Now some of y'all say, that's greed. No, that's growth. The Lord's my shepherd. I shall not need. Want. Because when you get what you want, you destroy all your need. That's greed. No, that's growth. Most people don't understand the Bible. That's why they live in the way they live. They ain't gonna be able to make it in heaven. I had a man jump my case the other day. Mad as a hornet at me. I don't even know the man. I come walking up. He said, excuse me, are you Jesse Duplantis? I wanted to say, no, I'm Tom Selleck, but I wasn't tall enough. I wasn't good looking enough. Wasn't skinny enough. He got mad at me, man. I don't know this man from Adam. I don't even know Adam. He said, I don't believe in that faith stuff and that prosperity stuff. You hear me? And I said, well, go to hell. He just looked at me. Boy, they start blinking right now, huh? He said, what'd you say? I said, go to hell. He said, I can't believe you told me to go to hell. I said, I'll tell you again, go to hell. I said, because you can't go to heaven. You're not going to like heaven, because heaven's blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed going in and blessed going out. Hey, wait a minute. Heaven don't have gravel. Heaven has gold streets. Hey, heaven don't have trailers. Heaven has mansions in my Father's house. I said, you got to go to hell where the bombed out trailers are. You got to go to hell where there's pain and suffering and jealousy and envy and malice. You ain't going to like heaven at all. So go to hell. Excuse me. Let me help everybody on television. That ain't cussing. That's a destination. I'm Jesse Duplantis, and I approve this message. Yeah. Hey. You better start learning to see beyond the normal perception of things. I don't have to wear a suit to impress you. I got more suits than most people have. It don't mean no difference to me what people think. It makes all the difference to me what God thinks. Write this down. Anyone who dares to be different will encounter resistance. Anyone who dares to be different will encounter resistance. There's somebody ain't gonna like you. There's somebody not gonna like what you do. They say, you can't do that. And the reason why they say that, because they can't do that. And they figured if they can't do that, you can't do that. The reason why they can't do it, because God didn't call them to do it. He called you to do it. So when people say, you can't do that, I say, I can understand why you say that, because you're not called to do it. Oh, you think you're better than me? No. You said that. I didn't say that. Don't put words in my mouth. God didn't call you to do it. Not that I'm better than you, but he figured you'd be arguing with him. Anyone who dares to be different will encounter resistance. Let me tell you something. If you bleed by faith, if you bleed faith and work faith, you're going to get some resistance. I don't believe in that faith stuff. I can tell. I'm looking at you. And I ain't talking about what you're wearing. I can tell by your mouth. I can tell by what you say, because what you say is coming to pass. But God doesn't heal everybody. Right, he ain't healing you because you don't believe it. I know that sounds hard, but my God, if you're sick, don't you ought to believe in the healing? You know, I tried sick. I didn't like it. People are mad at me because I'm full of joy. You know how much criticism I get because of joy? I tell you, he's just so happy all the time. Yes! I read the end of the book. I win! I done won my lottery. And I ain't talking about an earthly lottery. I'm talking, my God, my life is not a life of chance. It's a life of faith. Anyone who dares to be different will encounter resistance. See, there's things in the Bible, my God, that you got to learn to see beyond the normal perceptions of things. Here's a statement. Oh, no man anything but to love him. Oh, Jesus. I said, he can't mean what he says. The only debt you can't pay off is love. You got to love people you don't like. God told me to love my mother-in-law. I was almost like Cain. I almost turned around and walked off. But I was wrong. Oh, no man anything but to love him. Well, no, he don't mean that. Yeah, that's exactly what he means. Nothing wrong with borrowing money. Nothing. Don't misunderstand me. These just levels you want to go to. So I thought, I got to go own something. You know how I started? I've been debt-free since I'm 1982. 1982 is the last time I ever paid a bill. I don't know my credit rating because I ain't going to never use it. I have no concept of my credit rating. I don't mean that pridefully. I decided, bless God, not to owe anybody, that I'd live debt-free. So I went and bought a debt-free coffee table, paid cash for it, $119. This is way back when. People come over to my house, I said, I want to show you a debt-free coffee table. I said, now everything else got a note on it, but that coffee table there is debt-free. That's the only thing I got debt-free. See, you got to start somewhere. It's a point of contact. And my Lord, it wasn't 6 weeks. I had all my furniture paid for. People come over and I say, hey, let me show you a debt-free sofa. Sit your butt down on a debt-free sofa. Come on, son. See, it's learning to see beyond the normal perception that I was building something in me. And I'll never forget when I walked outside that house of mine. And it was a little bitty house. And I turned and looked at that card and went, oh, Jesus. Oh, I almost sounded like a black preacher. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. See, white people can't do that. You tell a white preacher do some hooping, he'll go fire, he go get a hula hoop. He don't know what he's doing. I turned and looked at that car, and I said, in the name of Jesus, you are going to be debt free. And I could hear the devil say, how you going to do that? I said, I ain't talking to you, fool. Why? Because you in debt. And brother, it wasn't 4 months. I had a debt-free car. I had debt-free furniture. I had a debt-free automobile. And I'll never forget, I turned around and I looked at that house and I went, oh Lord Jesus. You see, I'm talking, look, this is called learning to think out the box. I said, in the name, I'm standing in the driveway, people looking at me with my hands up, in the name of Jesus. I will not have another mortgage ever again, and I will pay this one off. I could hear the devil screaming, but I hollered louder than he did. I said, I will pay you off. And within 9 months, I was debt free. I've been debt free ever since. Why? Oh, no man, anything. You got to find your scripture that you can put a foundation on. I never heard of the blessing way back when, but God did. And today, I don't know what that is. My television's paid for a year in advance. Come on. Jesus. Why? It's what I believe for. And then yet here comes the resistance. Who do you think you are? Debt free? Write this down. You must have courage to break free. See, drastic measures may cause conflict. You got to have courage to break free. And if you hear about Jonathan, he defeated that army, him and that armor bearer. Because see, the devil that fight you is uncircumcised. He doesn't have a covenant. I've had bankers when I used to borrow money say, you can't do that. You know where you can build that without us. I said, you are an uncovenant man. I said, one day you'll work for me, buddy. One day you'll take me out to lunch. And they looked at me with this stupid kid, but not no more. Man, I've had president of banks take me out to lunch. We like to have Jesse the Apprentice Ministries financial accounts and Jesse and Kathy's personal financial accounts in our bank. I said, take me to dinner. I said, I'm the same man, mister. 30 years ago, I was here. You're trying to give me a coffee pot. Telling me I couldn't do this. Now, I'm your biggest depositor. I haven't changed. But they did. Because you see, I knew faith worked, but I had to work it. I had to work it. You must have courage to break free. Drastic measures may cause conflict. I can't move in the city of New Orleans without somebody saying something. I got a helicopter flying over the house. Today, they went out there and just took up some old grass. I'm doing some landscape. Took up some old grass, and immediately several people in the county, y'all call it counties, this parish, stopped to see if we was going to plant something there. I said, no, we're just going to put some pretty grass. Oh, okay. Boy, people just watching me. People say, that don't bother you? No. I've been on television. They say all kind of bad things. They say, you know, he just rich. That didn't make me feel bad. I went, oh, he's taking those people's money. I ain't never took anybody's money. I made my money. I made it by my giving. I've never eaten my seed. You can tell all the time when you're eating seed, if it's bitter, it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God. The harvest is always sweet. The seed is always bitter because it doesn't fit your mouth. You must have courage to break free. Now remember, it's coming, brother. They're going to jump all over. They're going to do everything they can. But that's all right. You read the end of the book. The natural man receive it, not the things of God. I don't think you ought to have that. I don't think I asked you. Now, I don't mean that to be rude. Don't misunderstand that. Excuse me. I don't say nothing about your house. Well, I don't see why you have to have that big of a house. Well, I don't see why you have to have the house you have. I had a guy tell me, I don't think you ought to have the house. I said, no, you love my house. You don't like yours. That's why you're looking at mine. Because if I gave you my house, you'd shout. My house has a name to it. La Maison de Rêve, the house of dreams. Oh, it'll shock you. It's blowing everybody else in Louisiana. I'm not bragging on that. This is manifestation of the word of God. I don't expect sinners to understand it, but I do expect Christians to. See, a person who fluctuates back and forth sends an unstable signal. Write that down. A person who fluctuates back and forth sends an unstable signal. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let me read it again. A person who fluctuates back and forth sends an unstable signal. James 1 verse 8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Oh my God, if a preacher, if he's unstable, he'll be unstable in his marriage. He'll be unstable in his finances. He'll be unstable in his church. He'll be unstable in everything because he's fluctuating back and forth. He's like a reed. What did God say? You see, you got to understand something. When you are a double-minded person, it's you're out of order. Write this down. The great scourge of humanity is double-mindedness. It's a form of spiritual disorder. The great scourge of humanity is double-mindedness. It's a form of spiritual disorder. Let me ask you something. Look at me when I say this. You'd be crazy. Would you put money in a Coke machine that says out of order? Because if you do, you're stupid. And I don't mean that to be rude. I mean, it'd be kind of dumb putting money in a machine and they got a sign on says out of order. When you double-minded, you're out of order. It's a form of spiritual disorder. It's the scourge of humanity. You see what I'm saying? I don't put my faith in something that says out of order. There's some of you people, you're not being blessed. You know why? You're going to a church that's out of order. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. They don't believe in nothing other than you coming. If you get sick and you die, would you give some money to the church? You got a preacher getting up every saying, we don't know what we're going to do. Man, that preacher said it to me twice. I'm gone. People want leadership. They don't want this. I don't know. What would you do if the president of the United States got up and said, well, I'll tell you what. I don't know what y'all doing, but I'm getting out of here. No, you want leadership. Double-mindedness is a scourge of humanity. Even my own daughter, my wife said, "Boy, Jesse, when you make your mind up, you don't flinch." No! Because it's spiritual disorder. You see, when I decided to be debt free, I had many opportunities. I was believing God years ago for an $18 million aircraft. Do you realize how many banks wanted to lend me that money? Oh, you talk about temptation. I didn't have the cash then. They kept saying, "Oh, Reverend, it doesn't make no difference. Just come get the money. Go get the jet. Go get the jet." There's nothing wrong with that. But see, I had made a statement. I had made up my mind that I would be debt free, that I would learn to think out the box, that I would lend and not borrow. I've said that. People heard me say that. I couldn't go back on. Boy, you talk about temptation. Just go get the plane. You can afford the note. Everything you got, your home. Your asset level's amazing. Boy, I kept hearing that. That ain't even the devil said, "Go on, get the plane." I even had ministers say, "Why don't you go get the plane?" They wasn't saying nothing wrong, but they wasn't saying what I had said. It was tough. It was hard. But I said, "Jesus." He said, "What'd you say, Jesse?" I said what you said. I took one of your verses and I made it part of my life, that I'd owe no man anything but to love him. He said, "Well, what are we going to do? We changing it?" I said, "The word of God don't change, and neither does Jesse's word." He said, Jesse. I said, Jesus. But tonight, if you go out there, that plane's sitting out there at Midway, and it's paid for. Cash, debt free. Oh, I could have had it 2 years earlier. I could have had it maybe 3 years earlier. All I had to do is go get the money. Nothing wrong with it. Don't misunderstand me. But I had said something, Bill. See, if God ever changed his mind on me, we got problems. The great scourge of humanity is double-mindedness. That's why that armor bearer said, "Do what's in your heart." So many things in the Bible that makes you learn to think out the box. So I refuse to fluctuate. No. Why? Because it's a form of spiritual disorder. Let me say it again. You'd be crazy to put money in a machine that has a sign on it that says out of order. Are you getting that? Are you getting that? They start, listen to me. Maybe that's the reason why you're struggling. Because you're out of order. Oh, let me show you something. Watch this. Oh, I'm going to shock you now. I tried that fake stuff. But it didn't work. So you left the church. Now what you did was put your light under a bushel. It's still lit. You're still a person of faith, but you're no longer a person of like precious faith. What does the word precious mean? Rich. Anything that's precious is rich. Caution. You see, you're still a person of faith. There may have been some people who have left your church sometimes. "I don't want that bill. That's all they ever talk about." You know, and they love God, but they're embarrassed. "I tried the faith stuff. It didn't work." So now they go to another church. There's still people of faith. Their light's under a bushel, though. It's still lit. That means they love God. Don't misunderstand me. You love God with all your heart. But you're no longer a person of like precious faith. You go read Peter. He says, "I want people of like precious faith." And God says, "If we have therefore opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those of the household of faith." See, so I don't get mad if somebody leaves our church or leaves my ministry. "I tried that, it didn't work." Well, that's the problem. You tried. You don't try to do nothing. You do. If you tried to, "I'm going to try to get married." There ain't nobody going to marry you. I mean, have you ever married someone, Pastor? And they say, "Would you take this woman to be your lawful wedded wife?" "I'll try." "Well, sit your ugly self down, boy. You don't try this, you do this."
That's right.
Be ye therefore doers, not triers. But listen, they're still people of God. They still love God. I don't criticize them. They go, "You're not mad at me," but no. It embarrassed you. Because you see, faith did work. You just didn't work it. And what defeated you was not your lack of it, was your abundance of time. You thought if it didn't work in this time frame, it doesn't work at all. Excuse me? You have the power to change time. What? You will do it in a couple of months? We are going to roll the clocks back in a couple of months. The gorillas don't know it. The animals didn't know that you changed your clock. But yet the whole world goes over to daylight saving time simply because you said it. All of a sudden, it's an hour later. Now we got a Sunday coming. Saturday night at 2 a.m. or Sunday, we're going to fall back, right? Why is it the animals don't know they gained an hour? The government said we're going to turn the clock back. You accepted that statement by faith so strongly that you changed your watch. You do it before you go to bed. The world didn't stop spinning for an hour. But the whole world works on that, on what you said, because you decided to change the time. So how about change your circumstances? You see, I don't get double-minded. Now, when you fly all over the world like I do, boy, I mean, some of these time things are crazy, especially in America. There's some places the state goes, springs forward, but a city doesn't. I mean, you can jump across the line and gain hours. I was flying to Australia, my Lord, and gained a day. How you like that? Came back and got it back. Boom. Simply because they said it. That's where the international dateline is. I said, okay. Someone decided to think out of the box. His name was Benjamin Franklin. He said, you know, we can save some energy if we have daylight savings time. Ain't nobody believed it till just a few years ago. Found out that it would be true. Now, I don't particularly care for daylight savings. I like the time God created. You see what I'm saying? But you know what? I'm not going to go around saying, I refuse to change my clock. Because you see, I'd be early for this meeting. You see, faith never allows your destiny to be settled by chance. Write it down. Faith never allows your destiny to be settled by chance. No, you're not settled by chance. Let me go back to those people that got embarrassed. They're a little embarrassed. I tried that healing stuff, tried that faith stuff, tried that prosperity stuff. I gave money, and my God, I just lost my mind. I ain't getting it. And so they left, but they still love God. They just went to another place. Their light's under a bushel. See, God wanted to take them to a place of like precious faith. You don't hear Jesus doing all that kind of stuff. He just stuck with what his father said. Now, don't get mad at them. They're still people of God. They still love the Lord. But they're no longer people of like precious faith. But their light's still burning. He said, don't put your light on the bush. I mean, it's still there. I mean, it's still on. I'm glad. But I would prefer if they be not weary in well doing for it in due season. You're going to reap if you faint not. Now, you know, I could have got mad when I was believing God to be, debt free, and the next day it didn't happen. It took some time, not from God, but from me, to learn how to accept it. I had to learn how to accept it. You ever notice negative information is always free? Always free. Let me tell you what, boy. Positive information must be searched for. And if you can't find it, you create it. My daughter asked me the other day, she said, Dad, it just don't look like nothing bother you. I've seen you go through recessions, depressions, and my God. And when I mean by depression, in 1981 and 82, let me tell you something. There was a depression in the state of Louisiana in the oil industry. In Texas, Louisiana, California, Oklahoma, I want to tell you something. Oil went down to $6 a barrel. Ain't that wonderful, Jesus? She said, Daddy, why doesn't it affect you? I said, well, I create my world and I walk in it. You see, I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. Do you understand what I'm saying? I know the other world is around me, but I'm in the world. So I create my world and I invite people to come into my world. I determine my destiny. I determine the time frame of it. I determine my destination. You see, let me tell you something. The road is not moving. So I'm going somewhere. But because I'm on the road. Yeah, but the road doesn't move. The journey moves. You go backward or forward. The road's going to just stay right there. To get to where you need to get, you got to get on the road. Some people think just because they're on the road, they're moving. No, no. It's like you're on a religious treadmill. You're running, but you're not going nowhere. It's the journey that moves. So I begin to believe the unbelievable and receive the impossible. God put things in me as a child that now have now come to pass, and I'm 62 years old. And it's amazing. And he said, the best is yet to come. You see, but there's always somebody telling you you can't. He told me never let my faith stagnate. I have an intercontinental jet, ladies and gentlemen, I can go anywhere. In the plane that I flew here, I've been from Sydney, Australia to Moscow, Russia, and the thing. You understand? I've preached all over the world. And the Lord said, that's all I can do for you?
What did you say, Jesus? Is this it? Well, yeah.
I said, but I don't need it. He said, did I say anything about need? Well, no. He said, have you ever bought your wife something she didn't need? Yes. Well, he said, how come I can't be you? How come I can't bless you? How come my body's always got to be hurting for me to bless them? Why can't I just do an act of love like you did? You bought your child something they didn't need. How many of y'all bought your children things they didn't need? Why? I did that last year. Was it? It's an act of love. You just did it because you wanted to. How come God can't do that without some negative information coming forward? How come God can't just bless you? How come God can't give you a G550? And everybody go, no. Why did he do that? He don't need that. No, he didn't. It's just the Lord, what you want to do? How come God can't be you? How come God can't just do an act of love without the church having a flaming fit? The other day, a guy was criticizing my motorcycle. You ever see that motorcycle that guy's got? I don't know why he got it. You know how many motorcycles he's had? Yeah. Why? I don't know. The Lord just blessed me. I had people knocking on my door Saturday with $100 bills in their hands. I don't mean that pridefully. I got to get this into your hand. It's on me. I don't mean that pride. It's on me. It is on me. But I'm superior to that power instead of driven by it. I don't use that for an occasion to the flesh to fill my pocket up. That's something you should have wrote down right there. I had a man tell me the other day, Billy, my God, I can say this because you've been a part of my measure, part of my man. He come up to me, he said, boy, but Jesse, I've been hurting bad. I said, you've been hurting bad? Yeah, we're hurting financially bad. I said, how long have I been preaching for you? He said, this is your 18th year, every year. I said, my God, you know the anointing increases all over me, right? Yeah. I said, are you a part of my mission? No. I said, God sent you a boat and you never get in. I said, I don't want anything you got. That's not the issue. God, you flooding. You're about ready to lose everything. And God sent a man with a 100-fold anointing on him and you don't put nothing in it. No, you're going to sit here and drown. For 18 years. Yeah, but you know what I like about you? But just, you don't charge any expenses. Am I right? I don't charge. I fly all over. I don't charge people nothing. I receive an offering, but not to get meet my expenses. No, my expenses is my seed. You understand what I'm saying? I eat harvest. What's it? I said, I've been coming here 18 years and you never partnered with the ministry. It's like the floods at your nose right now. God sends you a boat and you go, when are you going to help me, Jesus? I said, I'm not saying that for you to give me anything. I said, I'm telling you, man, it's on me. You understand what I'm saying? But you don't want to believe that? Don't believe that. I'll still preach for you. I love it. I ain't got anything to do with that. I didn't come here for your money anyway. You know, about a phone or 3 or 4 weeks later, he drove almost 400 miles and brought me a check for $10,000. I said, oh, Jesus, are you ready now? He goes, you think it's going to happen? I said, now, I'm not saying for you to do that. Thank you, sweet. Yeah, you could. Thank you. Just hold that. Thank you. Just listen to me. Within 4 days, he calls him back up. He says, I was standing in the yard and a man stopped by in a truck and said, the Lord told me 4 days ago to give you this. And he gave me $10,000 and he gave me a check for $100,000. Wow. I said, what are you excited for? He says, it's $100,000. I said, it's not the 100-fold. Call me when you get 100-fold. Click. That's $1 million. Then we're going to get excited. Now, he's all excited about the 100 because he ain't never had that happen in his life. Now, I'm not saying that to be prideful. What I'm saying is, if you go to a Benny Hinn meeting, don't you expect to get healed? Yep. I mean, you don't go to a Benny Hinn meeting and go, I just wonder if I should get prayed for healing. That's
the stupid. The healing anointing is on him. You get around Bill Winston, the anointing of increase is on him. The anointing to build things, the anointing of concepts, insights, and ideas. I mean, the Joseph School, that is a phenomenal. All this, quit looking at his car. He gonna get rid of that after a while, get him another one. That ain't, you know what I'm saying? Forget that. Quit looking at stuff. Look at the thing that's not seen, which is the anointing of God. That's what you want. And then all this other stuff just comes to pass. I had a bank. You want a bank? A bank. I was talking to the bank president. He said, you know, we don't have as many depositors as we had. I said, are you a partner of my ministry? To tell that to a bank president in the bank? He goes, what? I said, you want new depositors? I said, be a partner. I don't care. Something. You know, they had a board meeting of the bank 3 days later, and they sent me a check for $500 from a bank. A bank giving you money. You know that's a miracle of God for a bank to give you money. Banks don't give you money. Banks lend you money. I got a $500. I almost didn't cash it. Vicky, I want to frame it. But the reason why I had to cash it so his seed would grow. And the Lord said, don't go in that bank for at least 2 weeks. Wow. I said, okay, I waited 2 weeks. 2 weeks to the day. I walked in. He said, Reverend, I need to talk to you. I said, what? He said, our new depositors has increased 68%. He said, man. He said, we're doing good. I said, just think if you'd have sent 50,000. I said, exactly what I said. Wait, excuse me. I don't mean this private. I didn't need the 500. I don't need the 50,000. He did.
Yes, sir.
You don't need what this man has. You need what's on him. I'm not saying that because he's my friend. Listen to me. I've been knowing this man a long time. See, that's learning to think out the box. That's spiritual order.
Yes, sir.
Not disorder. You come to my meeting, you're going to laugh. See, I didn't even say nothing funny. You heard it? My God, why? The anointing of joy is on my life. It's on me. You ought to hear me preach a funeral. Even the corpse laughs. People say, I do the best funerals you ever saw in your life. Well, if they're Christians, what are you sad for? You never deviate from your mission. Write it down. Never deviate from your mission. If you want to be defeated, just get distracted. You never deviate from your mission. If you want to get defeated, you get distracted. And my friends here from Wisconsin. Can I say, you see them people right there? Y'all stand up. I'm going to say it publicly. They're going to receive $10 million into their ministry. Okay. You mark my words. Has it taken some time? You better know it has. I was preaching in his church, and God shook him to his shoes. And he had a board meeting. Am I correct? And they gave me, the offering was already given to me. I already had no, and they gave a check. I left the church with $100,000 from the church. And the first thing I said, I don't want this $100,000. I said to myself, God, you owe that man $10 million. Now, how do you know that's going to work? Well, I'll tell you I know exactly how it's going to work. I think it was 1998, 99. I was sitting in a Kenneth Copeland meeting, and the Spirit of God said, write Kenneth a check for $100,000. I said, yes, sir. I leaned over to Kathy. I said, Kathy, you got a check? She said, I always got a check. I said, give him a check. And I said, now, Lord, I expect $10 million. Do you know I received $10 million within about 11 months? Don't tell me it don't work. Now, he hadn't received his yet.
Why? Because the devil's doing everything he can to stop this thing. The devil got enough sense to know himself that he ain't got enough time. And he delays the body of Christ. He defeats you by time, not by his works. But remember, you can change time by walking in spiritual order, learning to think out the box. You see what I'm saying? Now, when I start believing for a plane, my first one, I've owned three jets. My first plane, I started believing for it. In 1978, I didn't receive it till 1995. Actually, 1994. Yet I told people, the Lord said, he's going to give me a jet. Oh, shut up, boy. Shut up, boy. I'll never forget the day I got that jet. All them preachers said, can you take me for a ride? No, I ain't putting you in there. I put you in there to crash for so you doubt my unbelieving fool. All you did is criticize me all them years. Write this down. Self-confidence must emanate from oneself. See, people think when you're self-confident, you got self-confidence that you're egotistical, arrogant, and you're not. You just know who you are and you know the God you serve. Self-confidence must emanate from oneself. You must have power over yourself. Why? Because people pick up on that energy. People pick up on that energy. When Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans, I didn't say, oh, gee, what are we going to do? I wanted to have 3 days off, Labor Day weekend. I very seldom ever get that. I planned to do that. Then here come Mr. Lee. Y'all probably seen it on television. Just sitting there spinning. But it's a tropical storm, but it can drop a lot of water. I had at my house 14 inches of rain. Boy, Texas want that so bad. 14 inches of rain. We didn't flood. Well, I wasn't believing for it. But you know, I just put all new landscaping. I said, we need some rain. The Lord said, you need to be a little bit more specific next time. My God. I had to pump my pool down 4 times. 14 inches of rain. Didn't have any trouble. It was just not. We sat there. Me and Kathy just looked at each other. Actually, I really needed the rest. It was wonderful. And it was raining. It was raining. Yet the wind was a little gusty. You know, we're used to those kind of things. See, if we had got what New York got, we'd have had a barbecue. A category one? Oh, I don't mean that to be rude. Don't misunderstand me. When you're not used to those kind of things. But when you know how to handle those kind of things, I was raised around that, you know, that kind of stuff. So you know how to do those things. Just like if a snowstorm hit New Orleans. That's worse than a Category 5 hurricane. My God, when it gets to 35 degrees, we shut the school down. We ain't going out there. It's 35 degrees out there. We can't handle no snow. We got snow about 2 years ago. You should have seen that. People were running outside. Slipping down, beating their head. We don't know how to handle that. But you do. Well, my God, under the word of God, you ought to know how to handle anything. If you've been reading the word. You see, so when I read that word of God, that God said, all things are possible to them that believe. So all I got to do is believe. Mm-hmm. Great is he who's in you than he who's in the world. So that means if the devil comes, I'm greater than anything he can do. Mm-hmm. If you sow your seed, you can have some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Okay, well, since I got a choice, I'll take the 100-fold. No, that's greed. No, that's Bible. That's Mark chapter 4, Mark chapter 10. Go read it. By stripes you were healed. Well, bless God. Might as well get, why not be made whole? I mean, why get healed of cancer and keep diabetes? You ever heard of people doing that? They're healed of cancer, but I tell you what, just can't seem to get rid of that diabetes. Lord, if you can just meet my need. And guess what? He meets your need and you go, and you're still complaining. Yeah. Lord, if you can just help me pay this light bill.
Then you forgot to ask for food.